This is the new Apple IIc. This is a computer they call Junior. You might think they're similar, but this one can only run this many programs, while the Apple IIc can run this many. The Apple comes with its disk drive built in, so it's much smaller. Even the price is small. Now, which one would you rather take home? The new Apple IIc.
We'll see if you get this intro, Leander. I have a feeling this one's going to get some crickets, but let's try it. Ready? Here we go. Hello, and welcome to the Colcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me this week, when he's not bringing you the Apple news, he's busy bringing sexy back. Buster Kina's here.
Hey.
Also with us, feeding him a Stella Artois is like feeding a Mogwai after midnight. Leander Caney is here. Yep, pretty much the reaction I was expecting.
What's a Mogwai?
Oh, Buster!
Gremlins, right?
Yeah, Leander got it, yeah!
Sorry.
I was going to say feeding a gremlin after midnight, but that doesn't make any sense because a Mogwai turns into a gremlin.
Well, I didn't know it that much detail. I mean, I just made a guess. Feeding after midnight, right? I mean, I knew that from Gremlins. I didn't know what a Mogwai was. I never heard of that before in my life.
Did you ever see the movie Gremlins?
I mean, years ago.
Yeah, me too.
My son Olin's obsessed with it.
Really?
You're kidding?
Yeah.
That movie came out in like 1987 or something?
He found it on YouTube somehow and a bunch of other stuff, but he became really obsessed with that movie.
I was terrified when I saw that movie as a kid.
Yeah.
When I saw that movie for the first time, I had to sleep with my mom in my room for like 2 weeks after that. And then I did it for like another 6 months.
6 months. Yeah. 6 years. 16
years. And now
years.
I sleep with Alex E. Heath's mom in my room. I hope he listens to this show still. Probably not. He's probably moved on. Alrighty. Well, welcome to the Colcast, everyone. If you've never listened to the show before, we congregate each week to talk about each week's best Apple stories. If you're listening to us not via iTunes and you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, you can always subscribe to this show on iTunes. It's the absolute best way to get the show delivered right to you every Thursday night. We've got some very tasty Apple tidbits to talk about this week. And if you stay tuned to the end, we are going to be doing an all new, I think probably an extended edition, Get to Know Your Cultist, where we answer some of the best questions ever written. In fact, one of the questions that I crafted for this segment is probably one of the best questions ever written down. So we'll be answering that one.
Right.
Before we jump into the news, I want to give a quick shout out to Cult Cloth for supporting this episode. You know what? I'm like a shepherd, like a digital shepherd. I tend to my flock of digital gadgetry. I like to keep my gadgets clean, you know, like the day that I bought them. I'm somewhat anal retentive about it. And if you are as well, I invite you to check out Cult Cloth. It's the product that I launched last year. And it's the best way that I have found to keep my keyboards, my lenses, my iPhone, my iPad, all my gadgets in my life sparkling clean like the day that I bought them. These things work so very well. But you don't have to take my word for it. Check out our testimonials page at cultcloth.co, where you can see what real people are saying about their own Cult Cloth. And if you are ready to try some out yourself, use code CULTCAST at checkout, and you will get a free 8x8 clean cloth with any order. That's cultcloth.co, cultcloth.co. I also want to give a big juicy kiss to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Did you know the cultcast.com and the cultcloth.co are both built on the Squarespace platform by yours truly. Didn't take very much time or effort at all, and I think they look pretty gosh darn good. And that's the power of Squarespace. You can have a beautiful site that looks totally different than anyone else's site, a custom site just for you, up in a matter of minutes. You can adjust virtually everything. It's all drag and drop. You don't need to know how to code. And you can invite contributors in, like I have, to actually help you with the content. In fact, we have some listeners helping with thecultcast.com. So you'll have a site up quickly. Your site will look beautiful and custom. You'll be able to share the work with your friends or with your employees, which means you'll be able to maintain the website without paying a developer big bucks. You're going to have a ton of flexibility, and your site is going to look great on any device that visits. I always tell people that need a website, check out squarespace.com. Sign up for a trial, build a website. You have a 2-week trial, build it. And if you like what you see and want to continue your service, Use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 10% off any order. And if you order a year of service, you'll get a domain name, a free domain name with your order. That's squarespace.com. I'm a very happy paying Squarespace user. I pay for it every single month. I love it. I recommend you try it too. Squarespace.com. Alrighty, guys. We got a rumor this week that the iPhone 7 might finally bring the feature everybody wants.
Oh, yeah.
And what feature could that possibly be?
A big, fat battery.
Juicy.
Just all up in it.
Boy, I like the way you describe things. So I was reading this, and I was thinking to myself, we talked about this before, where there have been rumors about iPhones that get big, fat, juicy batteries, as you so eloquently described. But I always remember something that Leander said, Leanne Durkaney, that is, and it was that every time they upgrade the battery, it seems like we're going to get additional battery life, but then they always use that extra battery life to just give us extra features that just draw more power. Isn't that right, Leander? Well, so we never actually get longer battery life.
Did I say that? I don't recall, but...
Yeah, you did say... I thought it was you. Did I make that point? Because it was a really great point. I'll take credit for it, if you want.
I think you should.
So I don't know if we're actually going to get extended battery life, but tell us a bit about the battery, would you, Buster?
Right, I was going to say, yeah.
Well, it's a 15% size increase, so it would be even bigger than the iPhone 6 battery. It would be, 1,900-something milliamps?
1,960 milliamp hours?
Yeah. And then the iPhone 6S is 1,715 milliamp hours. So it's a decent bump up, but like your point to Apple using that extra battery for newer features, I don't know what new features are going to come in play there either, because the displays should be more efficient. They're not adding any... the processor's not going to be crazy powerful, we found out today, so...
I'm glad you brought this up, because I sometimes feel bad that we're so hard on the iPhone 7. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I read comments by people who say, oh, you guys are hating on the iPhone 7. Like, why don't you care anymore? Why aren't you excited? And I always think we're all unabashed Apple fanboys, I would say. Isn't that right?
That's totally
why we're here.
Yeah.
And Leander, maybe even slightly more than Buster and I. But the reason we love Apple is because they put out such great technology. I think we would be remiss if we didn't point out when they didn't nail a product. And even though I think the iPhone 7 is probably going to end up being exciting, we have to wait to see what they end up announcing. It's such a minor upgrade over what we currently have. For me personally, it's not as exciting as upgrades in the past, or the switch from like the 5S to the iPhone 6 was huge. So I don't know. I mean, are we being too hard on the iPhone 7? I mean, do you guys feel like we're giving it, we're making it sound like it's going to be more disappointing than it may actually be?
I don't know. Maybe. But I think that's part of the thing. If you like Apple enough, you want to push them to do what you want, like awesomeness from them every year, I guess. Maybe we are spoiled in that fact, but I don't know. I guess that's kind of the expectations that we've had.
Maybe we are slightly jaded, but yeah. But we would be, I want to be honest with people. I don't want to dress up a pig, right? Not that the iPhone 7 is going to be a pig, but if it's not going to be as exciting as gadgets they've released in the past, I think it's fair for us to say that and not to hype it up and hype it up just so people, you know, get excited about it only to be let down. So I just want to put that out there, because sometimes I see people get upset that we aren't as, you know, jovial as we've been about other products. When the new MacBook Pro comes out, I'm going to strip down to my probably birthday suit, and I'm going to run through the street, and I'll put it on Instagram. I might live stream it. It's going to be a whole different situation. So you're going to see some excitement rev up when we get a new MacBook Pro. But maybe not so much for the iPhone 7, even though I think for people who have a 6, it will probably be an exciting upgrade.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Apple's new Planet of the Apes TV show.
Oh, Planet of the Apes, you mean?
Oh, I see what they did there. Clever, Tim. He's the one that probably came up with that.
Great name. I got a great name idea.
Yeah, Planet, let me run this by y'all.
Of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes. Everyone applauds, nodding, approving.
I have something to reveal about that
really?
Situation.
Are you submitting an app?
Guess who owned that domain?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right. You did. I totally forgot about that.
5 years.
Did you let it go?
I sold it last week.
To Apple?
Well, I didn't know it was Apple. I sold it to some guy down in Southern California.
That's fucking amazing.
A web development company.
Oh, wow.
Okay, hold on. For people that are like totally confused, let's back up. So Apple is creating a TV show called Planet of the Apps for the Apple TV. You probably have heard of us talk about this before. It is a reality TV show that will focus on the hard knock life of developers. It's being executive produced by Will.i.am, Ben Silverman, and Howard Owens of The Biggest Loser show. So they actually, I think I'm probably most impressed by The Biggest Loser guy just because that show has been on a long time and is super popular.
Yeah.
And Apple is looking for developers to submit to this show, and if they make it onto the show, they get access to receive guidance from some of the tech community's top experts. They also get, and this I think is probably the best part, premium placement on the App Store,
right.
Which people would kill for, and access to Silicon Valley funding from VCs. And by the way, if you're interested in this, you need to submit your app by August 26th. It can be any of the OS's, iOS, tvOS, watchOS, macOS. So, Leander, forever ago, you said it was 4 years ago, you registered this domain name, planetoftheapps.com?
Well, I bought it myself with some other guy. Like,
well, why? Why did you think to do this?
Because I wanted to do this was like when Android was starting to take off, and I had Cult of Android, and we had Cult of Mac, and it was like, okay, well, I wanted something that wasn't, you know, cult of this or cult of that. And I was thinking that there would be, we could do a site about apps, just like this, app development. Maybe it could have been developer focused. I was, you know, like really interested in, I was exploring like doing events and doing a conference, especially around WWDC. Uh-huh. I thought there was a big opening for doing a conference around WWDC. It's a great idea, but it's a huge, huge amount of work and a huge, you know, like it takes a lot of resources that we didn't have. You know, I mean, to do a conference is much, much harder than it looks. So I don't know. I had this domain. I wanted to do like a site, you know, that was more general. It was about app development in general, and it would have been cross-platform. It would have been for people who are developing, you know, apps for iOS and Android and whatever else comes along. So I bought off a guy who was running, well, exactly that. He had like an app blog, and it had news about Google Android apps and iOS apps, and he wasn't really doing much with it. So I bought it off of him. And,
you cannot make this
and
stuff
sat
up.
On it for this five, is so five bizarre. Years.
I sat
for about 5 years,
this.
And I didn't realize I had it privacy protected, right, at the registrar.
Yeah,
and that lapsed, and so I got an email. I've been getting a couple, 2 or 3 emails about it, and one of them, I put it up for auction earlier in the year, and I put a huge, like $50,000, like minimum or something like that. So that never happened.
It was getting bid on by T_Cook, 65.
If I'd known that, I got an email from this guy last week, and he's from a web development company in Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
And he was just really casual. Hey, you know, any interest in selling this? And
trying to play it cool so you don't jack up the price.
Absolutely.
Right. He doesn't want to let you know who the actual buyer is.
Oh, you know, well, any, you know, I looked him up. He has a web development site. I should have asked him what he wanted it for, but
totally. You should have.
You know, I didn't. He looked legit, and I was like, I'm not doing anything with it. I've been sitting on it forever, and I know that I don't have, you know, I didn't have any immediate plans to use it. So I was like, but, you know, what the heck? I might as well sell it. So I asked him, you know, I gave him a price. And we sort of negotiated a little bit around that. So he offered me pretty much pretty close to what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And
did you make a hefty hefty profit on it?
$4,500. I wanted $5,000, so
nice!
I asked him for $4,500. So
I can't believe it.
And I did a quick search. I did, you know, like average sale price of a domain, and it's about $5,000.
You're kidding.
So yeah, I was happy with that. And then of course, you know, we did all the a transfer process, which takes a few days. And I transferred it to him yesterday.
Wow.
I think yesterday morning.
No way.
And then Lewis in the afternoon says, hey, check out, you know, what, so check mean. Out who just launched a TV show.
Oh, my Planet gosh. Of the Apps.
Apple. I was like, what? And it took me a second to figure it out because he, you know, the way that he approached it to me, it was like, hey, you know, like he thought
Dude,
it was a coincidence.
I just went to Planet of the Apps and it is Apple's site. They're yeah. using your yeah. domain name for the show.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I know. And I was like, you're kidding me. You are kidding.
You could have gotten,
really went into a frenzy.
You could have gotten
I know, millions,
millions
and millions of dollars.
I can't believe
Apple.
This is crazy.
I couldn't believe it.
I cannot believe this, Leonard.
Lewis completely flipped out. Yeah. I know. I was like, what the heck? Are you joking? And so I did a search. I'm like, hold on a second. This couldn't have been public knowledge before, Planet of the Apps. And it wasn't. So, you know, it was.
There's just no way you could have known.
Yeah, right. They said, you know, it was, I think, impossible to kind of predict. Anyway, I wrote the guy back, and I'm like, what the heck? You know, I mean, if I, you know, when you told me that Apple was behind this, I would have, like, jacked up the price.
He's like, yeah, I know.
He said, you know, don't feel bad because there never was. They already had a domain. They already had a URL.
Okay.
And he said there was no plan to acquire a domain name for this show. So, and we just did it because it was, you know, because I just sent you an email and you said it was available. And I believed him.
Well, I mean, maybe they would have gone like apple.com/planet of the apps or something.
Yeah,
but
right.
still.
Well, it's not really Apple. Apple's, you know, like a minor partner in this. You know, they're helping to enable it. But it's really a production company out of New York.
Oh, so Apple doesn't actually own this content?
It's, you know, I think that they teamed up with these folks and it's, you know, it's their first their first foray into original content.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they're like lending their, you know, they're opening a lot of doors, right? I think, you know, like they're putting the apps on the iTunes store, giving them prominent placement.
Gotcha.
They're going to help promote it. But yeah, you know, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I found out.
I got to say, we're on episode 240, and I know there are people that have been listening since episode one. This is by far the most insane story that has ever been shared on this show. I mean, leaps and bounds ahead of anything else.
Man.
Yes, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, the fact that you got this domain, they ended up using your name for this show and then buying the domain back from you. It's totally nuts. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I know. Truly, truth is stranger than fiction. You cannot make
well, you
this stuff
that,
up.
Was it computer.com sold for like $50 million to
wow.
Dell years ago? Remember when domain names used to be really.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of trending domain names, and there used to be, and people, you know, there was a lot of speculation. People would like park domains. And,
oh, they,
and
still
they still
do. Are you kidding me?
But they don't. But when was the last time you saw a report about a domain name selling for any money, for any significant money?
Well,
I mean,
that could
just
be because
anymore.
It happens so often now that people don't report on it.
It might just be so commonplace now that
no one even thinks anything of it.
Well, not for lots of money.
I don't know.
Not for lots of money.
I guess if you'd have to get. The situation that you have where you would have to have a big company that could afford it and they'd have to have a product that absolutely needed that domain name. They couldn't work anything, you know, they couldn't do it any other way. They had to have the domain name. Then you can make big bucks. Like if you own like, I don't know, like fartwhispers.com, I don't think that you're going to get more than a few $100. But yeah, if you owned iPhone8.com, I bet you anything. Apple would pay you big bucks for that.
Yeah, you know, I know who to ask. Arnold Kim from MacRumors. I know that he parks domains and
does he
it's
really?
One of his hobbies for a long time. Yeah, I think so. And I remember talking to him about it before. And I know definitely that you know he was so into it that he has all these alerts set up. I think, and he knows how to dig into all the registrar records. You know, so every time, remember like there was some company that was associated with Apple. Parked domains like iCar.com and uh-huh. AppleCar.com. Uh-huh. Remember that story? It was like from last year or something like that. So he's pretty good at. He'd be the one to ask about this. He'd be able to fill me in whether I got ripped off or not.
I just came up with a brilliant retirement scheme. What we need to do, I probably shouldn't be sharing this on this show, but I'll take care of it before we actually release the show. is you need to register like iPhone 20 iPhone21.com, iPhone 23. And of course, they're so far away from those iPhone models, no one's registered them yet. And then you just kick back and wait 20 years, boom, retirement taken care of. When Apple realizes they're on the iPhone 20 and they're like, they're scrambling, we need this URL. And they're like, oh my gosh, Airphone owns it. Give him whatever he wants.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I bet someone's already done that.
Yeah, I used to work at GoDaddy, and you would get people that would call in, and they would just give you like a list of like 40 domains that they're going to buy and just sit on them. And just like, you know, crazy
no
stuff.
No way, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you, but that's so far ahead. No one's thinking that far ahead. Maybe iPhone 10's registered, iPhone 15.
iPhone 30. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. iPhone 30. I just went to iPhone 20.
I wonder
20,
how
iPhone
high
30.
It goes.
I've gotten up to iPhone 45 so far.
Really? I wonder if someone's like iPhone 105. They're like, they're not even thinking about themselves at that point. They're worried about their posterity. At that point, they're like, my great grandchildren are going to be rich once Apple gets the iPhone 206. They're going to be making it big time. I think it's a pretty good idea. Maybe iPad 45. There's probably some domains out there that are still available. Okay, let's talk about a mega app. I cannot believe how popular this thing is. Pokemon Go. Have you played this yet, Buster?
Oh, guilty, man. Guilty.
I just downloaded it, but I haven't actually played it. And for those that don't know what it is, you probably have heard of it. It is an augmented reality app from Nintendo. What's up?
Well, I mean, everyone's heard about it. This is the major tech story for like a week. They've been discussing it like nonstop on the radio, on TV.
Yeah, but people have probably heard what it is, but they probably maybe haven't played it or know exactly
know.
How it works.
Yeah, I would be surprised if not every single person listening isn't playing it right now.
they're literally listening to it, right? Or playing it right
this
now.
This is an astonishing
listen.
Phenomenon. There's been nothing like this, I don't think, ever in the history of apps.
I agree. So let me first explain just quickly what it is. It's an augmented reality game where you can use your iPhone to look at the real world and then find Pokemon and fight them and capture them. And it has taken over the world like a popular dance, like doing the Dougie. It's that popular. And I kid you not, I have seen two groups of people in my neighborhood, like entire troops of parents and kids walking around catching Pokemon, and they're having a good time. And this reminds me of a conversation I had with Blake J. Harris. In fact, if you haven't heard my Cultcast second hour interview with Blake J. Harris, he's the author of a book called Console Wars, the battle between Sega and Nintendo that happened in the 90s. Wonderful book. The conversation was fun. I'm actually going to post the second hour conversation if you want to listen to it. I'll post it in the feed so you'll see it show up like a normal Cultcast. We were talking about what Nintendo needed to do to kind of bolster sales, get a younger audience interested in their games, because no one's buying the Wii U, no one's buying the Wii. How are kids going to learn about Nintendo? And then Nintendo comes along and releases this app, this amazing iOS app. It's an Android app as well.
Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
It's not made by Nintendo.
I thought it was released by Nintendo.
No, it's made by the Pokemon Company, and they've made it through another developer. Well, Nintendo's not going to get much money at all off of this.
They just licensed it. Licensed the IP.
Okay, so Nintendo is still making money from it, though, right?
A little bit off of just the royalty from the intellectual property, but
still, I still think that's okay, because people are going to associate Nintendo with Pokemon, I think, forever. And
well, they totally do. It was actually developed by a Google spinoff.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, Nintendo stock is up.
Actually,
like,
their previous game was supposed to be. Yeah. Well, this is the first time they've actually they've licensed their IP to something that wasn't like Nintendo hardware, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And they're going to an audience that doesn't own Nintendo equipment, which is historically how they've always done it, right? You have to buy a Nintendo piece of hardware to play Nintendo games, and so. In my chat with Blake J. Harris, we were like, they need to branch out. They need to take advantage of this huge iOS ecosystem to make their IPs popular again. And then they went and did this. And even though they're not making the game themselves, it's so creative and novel. I think it makes Nintendo look really good. And Nintendo's stock price is up like 25% because of this title. Anyway, it's a freaking smash all across the nation. Isn't this crazy? how much of a frenzy it's caused with little kids. I think it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, it's shut down, you know, it's been shutting down streets in Manhattan. There's been shutting down streets here in San Francisco.
Has it really?
I mean, there's a huge frenzy about it. If you look at the news, I mean, it's like, you know, Pokemon. They were talking about it on the radio this morning on NPR. my kids were doing it last night. We saw groups of people walking around, you know, like in our local street.
Really? So it's happening in your neighborhood too?
Yeah. It's funny. It's hilarious. Everyone's really into it. All my kids are totally into it. Everyone they know is into it. There hasn't been an app that has taken off like this that I can think of. I mean, games are big smashes, aren't they? I mean, like, you know, like sometimes the big console games, you know, they can be bigger than Hollywood movies, but this has already got more users than Twitter and Tinder.
More users than Tinder, right.
Right. And this
it's
is
unreal.
Truly... And it's only in you know, it's only been launched in the US, Australia, and where else?
New Zealand.
And then I think it just opened up in the UK today. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Isn't it causing like all sorts of problems? Because people all over the world are trying to create US iTunes accounts or something so they can download this game.
The most popular Cultamax story for like the past week has been how to get a US iTunes account anywhere.
Just so people can download Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Right.
This is crazy. So Buster, you've played it. I haven't actually played it yet. What's the premise of the game? What's the big draw to it?
It's just like Pokemon.
I never played Pokemon when I was a kid. No,
it was too old. Yeah.
No. It was super popular. I mean, I am 47.
Yeah.
So it came out quite a while ago.
I don't know. You know, I actually kind of find like the whole frenzy around it pretty annoying. It's just, let's shut up about Pokemon.
Idiots.
You walk around. I think what people like about it is it forces you to get out and to explore. Like, you, in order to level up, you got to walk around to find Pokemon.
Right.
You have to go to, like, if you go to a park or a more historical area, there are more Pokestops for you to access and spin to get more items and find more Pokemon. So I think that's, like, kind of the funnest aspect of it, is just the exploratory. And you take possession of areas as well. Like, there's three teams, a blue team, red team, and a yellow team. And depending on what team you're on, you can, like, go and battle for a gym and stuff at a location. But you actually have to go there to fight for it. So I think that's, like, the cool thing, is it just gives you a layer on top of the real world to kind of incentivize you to explore.
Once you capture the Pokemon... Because I know you can keep like a collection of Pokemon. What do you do with them once you've captured them? Or are they just like trophies?
You upgrade them.
Can you use them to fight in future battles?
Yeah, that's why you upgrade them. You know, like there. When I played it, I keep getting like this pigeon Pokemon and this crab Pokemon, but you keep catching the same ones over and over, and then you basically just sell those off to get upgrade powers for like your one best one, and you just make it super powerful so you can go and fight and take over a gym or whatever.
You really want to take over that gym.
Oh, yeah. But because they're everywhere, you know?
At the gym, there's lots of Poke Powers. Pokemon.
Yeah.
I need to play this game this weekend. I'm going to walk around my neighborhood and capture some of these little kids' Pokemon.
Just be careful.
Like, yeah, take that. Why is that?
Don't get hit by a car or anything. I saw some, like, you know, there's been all kinds of accidents of people playing Pokemon right? Go. I love it.
Yeah, when I saw this troop walking across the street, all the kids were just focused on their phones, and they're just walking through these little intersections and stuff, not paying any attention whatsoever.
Yeah.
This is definitely going to cause some people to get run over, I think. All right, well, that's all the news we have for you guys this week. Let's move on to an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist. These are some just top-choice questions. I mean, better than average, for sure. And I'm curious to see what your guys' answers are. I have one question that's not in here, so you guys will be getting it brand new.
A surprise question?
It's going to be ahead of time. Surprise question, which we'll wrap up with, which might be one of the best crafted questions ever made. Let's start with this one, though. What is a movie that you've seen at least 25 times and still love and watch? Leander, it's going to be something weird. I know it.
I started making a list. I started writing down all these movies. I don't know if I've ever seen one movie 25 times.
You've never seen one movie 25 times? Are you kidding?
Really?
Yeah. There's like...
I think, you know, maybe... I don't know, maybe I've seen a movie like 20 times. I don't know. No, I don't know about 25 times.
20's close enough.
25 times? Really? Have you seen several movies more than...
Oh, easily. I can name a whole list. Yeah.
That's like a kid. Isn't that what you do a lot? You know, you just watch the same movies all the time.
Well, we had VHS tape.
Okay, yeah. Probably have to keep that in mind.
It would take about as long to rewind the tape as it would to watch it. So
that's a really good point. There's a generational thing happening here. You didn't have the access to technology like we do.
And
I can stream all my movies to my phone from anywhere.
Yeah, but do you watch the same movies over and over again?
You know, I do actually. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. I have a lot of movies, and I probably watch the same 10 over and over and over and over again.
Because, you do, really?
Yeah, you know why I do it is because I never want to spend the time to actually sit through a whole movie without doing anything else and being preoccupied. And so when you watch a movie that you've already seen, you can do other stuff and still kind of get the enjoyment of the movie. Yeah. So that's why I end up watching the same movies all the time, because I never want to stop and do nothing.
You can do that with most TV. You can do that with almost everything on TV. There's only a few things where you really need to pay attention, I found.
You're probably right, but I'm so anal about it. I'm like, if I haven't seen it, I don't want to know any spoilers, and I don't want to be doing anything while I watch it, because I want to catch every little tidbit of the movie or show. I don't want to be preoccupied.
Well, I do what you do, and if I'm really into it, it drives people crazy, because I often stop it and rewind to go back.
I'll do the same thing. Yeah, exactly. I do that too.
And then my wife, you know, tells me off, because she's like, why can't you just pay attention? And I'm like, well, I'm doing something, you know. I can't sit and watch TV without a second screen. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I find it hard to do that too, which is why I only ever watch the same movies over and over again. Okay, so what's your top pick there from your list, Leander?
Well, I guess the movie I've probably seen the most has got to be, I don't know, it's one of three things. Apocalypse Now. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say something. Wild Bunch. Sam Peckinpah. It's a great Sam Peckinpah ultra-violent Western. Hmm. Never seen that?
No. Never even heard of it.
William Holden and Ernest Borgnine. It's an amazing film. It's super great.
Ernest Borgnine, isn't he? He was a comedic actor, wasn't he?
Well, he did a few comic roles. He's not comedic in this.
Okay. Or he's
to play
one.
A kind of slightly unhinged heavy, I think, was his most, you know, how he was typecast.
Okay.
Or a slightly dim, you know, unlucky loser. Anyway, it's a great movie. Great, great movie. And then you'll never heard of this one either, but The Onion Field. Saw that many, many times.
Sounds delicious.
The story of Outback Steakhouse.
Two cops that get taken out to be executed in an onion field, and one of them escapes. And it's about the aftermath of that. It's a brilliant, brilliant movie. Super heartbreaking. James Wood is a psycho, and it's astonishing. One of his first performances. Huh? He is scary as heck.
Okay, so Apocalypse Now. I think I've seen that once. You know, I have a hard time watching realistic army movies. They're so gritty and violent. Like, I have a hard time watching realistic violence.
Yeah, I don't think this isn't that realistic. It's surreal. It's more of a sort of psychedelic, trippy, weird journey up the river.
Oh, yeah, man. That's Onion Field?
River. It's, yeah, no, Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. Oh, really?
There's a few maybe battle I'm thinking scenes, else. And it's pretty violent towards the end.
Okay. All right, so Apocalypse Now, Wild Bunch, Onion Field. Buster, what do you got for us?
Jeez, so I got to name three?
No, you only have to do one. Leander's actually doing extra.
I got a few more.
Yeah.
We'll do it in the bonus track. Leander can just sit there naming off more movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a guy who hasn't apparently seen a movie more than two or three times each, you sure had a long list.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about maybe I have seen these 25 times.
Okay.
I don't know. Buster. I couldn't imagine 25, yeah.
I would probably say the last one was maybe Step Brothers. I don't know.
You're kidding, really?
I can never get enough of Step Brothers, man. That movie is hilarious. That's one of my
favorites. Is that Arnold Schwarzenegger and...
No, it's Will Arnold Ferrell Schwarzenegger, and John C. Reilly.
It's a Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly joint venture.
They're like 40-year-old children. It's just, I don't know, there's so many good lines in that movie, man.
Are you a pretty big Will Ferrell guy?
Yeah. Also, I find comedies are like the best movies to watch on repeat all the time. Like Pineapple Express, that was another one. as a
yeah, I watched that one a few times. Yeah, a few times.
That one's good. As a kid, we would always watch Night at the Roxbury a ton. I remember there was summer I watched that like every day, but it was awesome. So yeah, mostly comedies.
You know what's interesting is I find that the ones I revisit the most often are the ones I watched when I was younger.
Uh huh.
And for some reason, those are the ones that have like the most powerful draw. Probably because they have that effect on your life when you're younger, and so you feel comfortable going back to them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't mean to psychoanalyze your choices there. tell me about your mother. Okay, my pick. There could be so many. But the movie series I find I go back to the most are the original Star Trek movies, with Leonard Nimoy, Leander. And the one that I watch the most is Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Oh, man. Just the acting and the dialogue and the music. And then you get to the end.
Captain's log, stardate 9529.1. This is the final cruise of the Starship Enterprise under my command. This ship and her history will shortly become the care of another crew. To them and their posterity will we commit our future. They will continue the voyage as we have begun and journey to all the undiscovered countries, boldly going where no man, where no one has gone before.
This is the last movie with the entire original cast of Star Trek. And they have this underswell of this amazing score. And then they finish the movie with everyone's signatures, like live action signatures, scrolling through space. Oh my gosh. I just love that movie. I watch it over and over and over and over. I probably
seen that
movie. Is this
the one where they come out of, they're all really old, right? And they come out of retirement. Is that the one?
They're not retired, but I think they're about to retire. And then Spock gets them involved in this plot to save this alien species. I'm trying to be vague so that people don't give anything away. Even though the movie's like 20 years old. But
come on,
you know what,
spoil that, guys.
No, I never spoil it. I don't care how long it's been. I will never spoil anything. I don't have a timeline on spoilers. It's just like, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it for you. So definitely that one. And then Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. My favorite of the three Indiana Jones. Such a good movie. The script is good. The dynamic between Sean Connery and Harrison Ford is brilliant. Gosh, should I do a third one? I'm spaced now. Okay, actually, let's stop there. We'll move on to... I forgot, this is not the only question we have. So let's move on to name an album you love listening to from start to finish. So name an album you love listening to from start to finish. Leander's is going to be one with... some woman whispering stuff to him. Leander, do you want to go first?
Okay. Well, yeah, Sandinista by The Clash.
Sandinista?
Which is a three album. It's a triple album.
Jeez. And what is it that you like about that album? There's not a single song on there that you don't love?
Yeah, oh yeah, there's a few, but I'll sit through them.
But you'll listen to it from start to finish without fast-forwarding through anything.
But I like, I was trying to think, because there's not a lot of albums that I listen to from beginning to end, and there's not a lot of albums that I like for the so-called quote-unquote album experience, hearing the whole thing. But this is one. This is one record where I can listen to the whole thing, all the way through. And I think it gains because it's an album, not just because it's a bunch of different songs. Even though I have favorite songs and I'll play them, I think I like just listening to it as an album. And I can't think of many other albums that I like because they're albums per se.
Okay.
Maybe some. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, I do. And, you know, I funny enough, my picks also, I don't listen to them as album experiences. I know what you mean, like a Pink Floyd album or something where the tracks run right. one into another, you know?
And I was going to say Pink Floyd. That's about the only other ones, yeah.
But the albums I'm picking don't really do that. Actually, I take that back. One of them might. Buster, what do you got for us?
I don't know. I mean, I usually do listen to somebody's album front to back when I listen to it.
Even if the songs are really bad, don't you hear songs and you're thinking to yourself, this is terrible. Well, why would anyone have put this on?
Yeah, after I've like listened to it a few times, then I'll skip if I'm like really not into a song or something. Any like post-rock album, really. I'm thinking, God, what's that band? Explosions in the Sky. That would probably be like if I were to put them on, I would probably, yeah, listen to that through the whole thing, because I think they're a band that still does make album experiences where the songs tie in together. And yeah.
Okay. Mine, I'm going to name two. My first one was an easy pick. This is Pearl Jam's 10.
I think I got my eyes closed.
One, you don't like Pearl Jam, or do you not like 10?
Both, I think.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Pearl Jam 10? Classic rock album. And their songs do kind of run together, because Pearl Jam, I don't know if they still do this. I think that they do. They don't go into a studio and play one song and then play like the same parts over 10 times. They just go in and they just play the entire album and record it, which gives the music this lively... this live feeling to it that I think makes it much more of a breathing thing than regular studio albums. And then my other pick is probably an album that you guys have never heard of. It's by a band called the New Radicals. Do you guys know who they are?
Yeah.
Do you really? Okay.
Yeah.
They were a band that existed from 1997 to 1999. They only ever released one album They broke up forever. But this one album is one of my favorite albums of all time, and every single song on it is great. The album is called... It's called Maybe You've Been Brainwashed Too. If you search for New Radicals, it's their only album, so it's not like it's hard to find. And that would be my pick. It's one that I rarely hear on the radio. You have to find it on Spotify or, you know, some streaming service if you actually want to listen to it.
Dude, you can find that album. Used to be super popular. I remember when it came out. Right,
it was really popular.
Yeah,
when it came
you
out.
Got to, yeah, that song. God, so
yeah,
annoying.
No, sing it. No,
how
go
do
ahead.
You
keep
even
going.
Listen to that over and over.
Did you like it, Buster? Or did you
when
just,
I was
you just
a little
it?
Kid? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, when I was in middle school.
It was
school.
So good. I mean, powerful ballads. So many great, powerful songs on that album. Do you guys know who the Sundays are?
No.
Leander,
no.
You've never heard of them? They were a British band, like 1995-ish. And those are, I would say, pretty much anything by the Sundays are also albums I can listen to start to finish. This girl who sings, she's the lead singer of the band, has the most sweet, angelic voice of any rock band I've ever heard. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but I think that's honestly true. And so I would seek out anything by the Sundays as well. Great summer music as well. Okay, let's wrap up with this question. You guys have never heard this question before, so you'll have to choose your answer on the fly. From here on forth, each summer, you must wear A, really short jean shorts, or B, one of those really short 80s tops that barely hangs over your nips. You know what I'm talking about? From like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Really? So you got to wear one or the other.
Super easy.
Busted, did you say yours is super easy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, which one are you going with?
Shorty shorts, man.
You're going to go with the short shorts and a regular top?
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's in my
now.
Daily...
Why is that such an easy decision?
That's what he wears
that's what
anyway,
I wear
isn't
every
it?
Day. Yeah.
Do you have the pockets hanging out too, yeah, the bottoms, because they're so short?
That's how you know it's legit.
And you can see like just like the very bottoms of like the old cheeks in the back because they're just
well,
that short.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Gosh, such an easy decision. Now I'm curious to hear what Leander's going to choose.
This is one of the best questions ever.
I don't think
she's
a short shorts guy.
Yeah, I guess I better go with the short top.
You're going to go with the really short top?
I'm usually topless anyway, like sitting around drinking Stella all summer. So
oh, really?
With my shirt off. With that handkerchief tied over my head, sitting in a deck chair.
You got a handkerchief on your head?
Yeah,
what's the
you
purpose
know how
of
they
that?
Do it? Do you remember that in Monty Python? Like, you know, you get a handkerchief and you tie it all off the four corners. You make this kind of impromptu hat.
Oh, yeah.
It keeps something, you know, from getting sunburned on your bald head.
Okay. Okay. Whenever I hear anyone talk about tying a handkerchief to their head, I think Tupac Shakur.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you tie it in reverse. The,
yeah.
Like the
like
knot is on your forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, this was such an easy decision for both of you. I'm really not sure which one to go with. Because it's like, do you want everyone to see the bottom of your butt cheeks all summer? Or do you want them to see your nips? I think I'm going to have to go with... I think I'm going to have to go with jean shorts. And that
it's
way when
choice.
Buster and I hang out, we're like the cute boys.
Yeah.
With the matching outfit.
What's up, ladies?
Hey, girls. Oh, if there's one thing I've learned in life is that women love it when guys wear short shorts. Isn't that true, Leander? Especially in Europe.
As long as you got some good legs, right?
Your legs don't even have to be that good. There's just something about a man with super hairy legs who's confident enough to just wear the shortest shorts. You see the full extension of his legs. There's something sexy about that, I think.
Well, they're the only shorts you could get in England because they don't even sell shorts. It's so, you know, like there's so little sun. They're not even sold. So the only way you get a pair of shorts is cut off a pair of old jeans.
Are you kidding? Do they not sell shorts in England? You have to
well,
go to some specialty
remember.
Store?
Yeah, I don't remember ever buying a pair of shorts. The only shorts I had were cut off jeans.
Weird.
The short kind?
And then, oh, yeah. Or swimming gear, right? So it was either that or some Speedos.
Right, because, I mean, do they have swim trunks in England or do they just sell Speedos?
Well, they're called trunks, but they were like Speedos. And you couldn't,
okay.
and like when I was a kid, you know, like in the late 70s, 80s, it wasn't, you know, everyone wore Speedos. They didn't have like board shorts or longer, you know, like, longer shorts. Although I guess people used to wear their soccer.
When I went to Europe,
their soccer shorts in the pool.
Yeah, when I went to Europe, all the times I've been to Europe, I was actually surprised. Everybody wears Speedos there. No one wears
really?
Swim trunks. Yeah,
trunks,
and
yeah.
When I was in Italy, I mean, it's exactly as you would imagine. All these big dudes, some of them, many of them, very rotund men, wearing like the smallest little Speedos, and then big gold chains on. Gorgeous, beautiful. Alrighty, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you this week. But if you want to come tell us what you wear to the beach when you go swimming, come visit us on Twitter. Leander is L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. I'm at Airfon. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys in our short swimwear at the beach. We put on some music. Buster, do the Dougie.
Oh, I can't Dougie, man.
You can't Dougie? I can teach it to you.
I'm not that good with the rhythm and the dancing. It's not my strong
what?
Suit.
Yeah, well, we can still practice together on the beach. Put on those shorts.
Okay.
Get the bronzer out.
I think we'd draw a crowd.
We'd definitely draw a crowd.
Get
I know that
tips,
much.
You know?
That'd be like one of those circular crowds around us just clapping as we dance in our short shorts.
Yeah.
Hi-o.
Hello, sir.
How's it going? Booster.
Yeah, what's up?
Booster the Thruster.
Hey, guys.
Booster the Rooster?
That's a good one.
walks around cocking his head, impregnating the hens.
Do you see that picture that he posted last week of him jumping off some fucking cliff?
Oh, are you kidding me? I blew it up and I put it on my wall.
I can get you a life-size
one. How high was
one.
That buster?
I don't know.
It looked really high.
Not sure which cliff you're talking about. There was a few.
Many cliffs. I jump off so many cliffs, Leander. I don't know. That's just what I do, you know.
Was it Niagara, Victoria?
I think the pig you're talking about is probably just like a little tiny, like 3 foot pool, little waterfall.
Oh, really? It looked higher than that. One of your friends posted it.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Let's talk about the real story here is that delicious chest rug you had.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah.
You took that photo at just the right angle, too, to give us the full shot.
Yeah, I wanted to accentuate my hair, the hair that I do have, you know?